We're turning our attention now to something that, as a personal thing, I've always thought should be done, really, or more should be done by the paid professionals, but is something that a wonderful job is done by an organisation called the Bridget Trust. Joining me this morning is Lucy Beach, the charity manager from the Bridget Trust. Morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Tony.
I presume I said that correctly, Brigitte Trust?
Well, actually, it's pronounced Brigitte Trust.
Ah, right, okay.
But it doesn't matter. It's named after our founder. Her name was Brigitte Watkin, a lady from Dorking, and she founded the charity back in 1984.
Okay, this is one of many, what you might describe as slightly smaller charities, not small, but slightly smaller charities around that do some very fantastic work, but almost kind of hidden. Just fill us in a little bit about what this charity is all about.
Yeah, sure. So we are a Surrey-wide charity. We are quite small. We only have six part-time members of staff covering the whole of the county, but we do have over 100 volunteers. And what we do is we provide emotional, practical and social support to people who have a life-limiting illness such as cancer, a neurological condition or organ failure, and we also provide support to people who have been bereaved.
Wow, I mean, there's quite a bit in there. It's almost like you're an extension of the health service, social care, to pick up where the authorities and the regular health services leave off, I presume, yeah? Because there's quite an important thing in there. You've mentioned some pretty, the sort of illnesses and conditions that you don't really want to get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we work really closely with our health and social care partners across the county. And we get a lot of referrals from the specialist teams, the specialist social workers and the Macmillan teams in the hospitals. And we also work closely with the hospices and other voluntary organisations as well.
Yeah. You mentioned your founder,
Brigitte,
that's it. Yeah, Brigitte Watkin. How long has the charity been in existence is the first question, really.
Yeah, so she started the charity back in 1984, so next year will be our 40th anniversary. Brigitte was an incredible woman. At the time, in the early 80s, the hospice movement hadn't really been established.
Yeah.
And what happened was she had three friends who had a life-limiting illness, and she realised that there was a real gap in service provision for her friends, that they weren't getting the support. So that's how she started it. Mm. It started initially in Dorking, and over the 40 years, we've now spread our wings and we cover the whole of the county of Surrey. So it's really grown and developed, and our services have grown and developed too.
Yeah, I take my hat off to anybody that has that kind of vision to end up with something like the support services you have and provide today to an awful lot of people over a local area, which is kind of nicer than sometimes the, I know the work of the national charities is very good, but the local stuff tends to be warmer, I suppose, is probably the word I could use for it. But it's a big subject, this, and I'm struggling really to actually know quite where to start because you cover so much and it's all so emotive.
It's very emotive, so it's really important that we train our volunteers up. So we have a really comprehensive training programme. It's 6 half-days plus a full weekend, and we see that as crucial that they're trained up, and it's also crucial that they have disclosure and barring service check, so the what was known as CRB checks previously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we also provide ongoing support because the work that they do is very emotive. They visit the same person every week for up to 3 hours, and obviously they build a relationship with that person, and the end of the day that person is more than likely to die, and so it's really important that we support our volunteers well. But the work that they do is so vital, and they really see it as a privilege and an honour to support someone at the end of their life, and they get a lot back from it themselves. So
yeah, I mean, the diseases you highlight in your section on who we are on your website mentions cancer, motor neurone disease and multiple sclerosis. I mean, there's a kind of a trio of things that nobody actually wants. I spoke with somebody before Christmas, actually, with somebody with motor neurone disease. And, of course, then there's Rob Burrows, who does a very public national thing to bring attention to the awfulness of what he's actually got and what he's about. 5,000 people in the country that have got that. I mean, it's just an awful thing.
Yeah.
That
the neurological conditions are actually awful. And what we do, we also run a monthly neurological support group, which we do on Zoom. So one of our volunteers facilitates that group. And we have around about 15 to 20 members on that group currently. And it's actually a really nice way for them to support one another, to have that peer support, to share their experiences, to realise that they're not alone. And each month there's often a speaker who comes, an expert speaker on a specialist topic of interest to them. But they really find it as a network of support for each other, which is really lovely.
Yeah, it's kind of vital as well, because, I mean, say, you've described them as life-limiting, but they're also, I would think, spirit-crushing at times. But with some of the people that have contracted some of these conditions, seem to have indomitable spirit and rise above the actual disaster of condition they actually have. So, I mean, when you talk about volunteers and you train them and that, are you talking mostly about volunteers who have already got some experience of these conditions by having family members or friends who have got these conditions?
Not necessarily. All of our volunteers come from a variety of backgrounds. But having said that, we do have a few retired nurses or health professionals or social workers. But equally, we have anybody and everybody who's just has a passion for this work and wants to give something back to their community, whether they've had a direct or indirect experience or no experience whatsoever. And it really doesn't matter. As long as people have an interest in people and are compassionate and can listen, I think one of the key things that's really important in our work is that ability to listen. Because people with these conditions, such as cancer or the neurological conditions, they often just want to share their worries and fears.
Mm.
They don't want to burden their family or their friends. So having a volunteer who's independent and can listen to them without judgment is really, really beneficial. But also we do nice things as well. So we do some social support. We would take people out for a coffee and a cake, a walk around the park if they're able to, or even go to the pub for a pie and a pint, that kind of thing. And we've had a couple of really lovely stories.
Yeah.
One lady who was dying, she wanted to go to the sea and have fish and chips one last time.
Oh, lovely.
So the volunteer took her there, which was fantastic. Another volunteer took her client swimming because she wanted to go swimming before she died one last time. And then we've had some really lovely feedback from families who say things like, you made the unbearable bearable, or you're like an angel coming in every week to take the pressure off of us. So what we do, is really helping people to live well beyond their diagnosis and to add some quality of life to their condition.
It's phenomenal stuff. None of this comes cheap. Now, we've already said that this is a charity that does this. You've been in existence for around 40 years. How on earth do you fund it?
Yeah, it is a challenge. We are fortunate that we do get a small grant from Surrey NHS that covers around 20% of our costs, so just some of the core costs, but obviously that leaves an 80% gap. And so we do rely on donations and fundraising, and we do apply to grant giving organisations and trusts as well. But obviously with the cost of living crisis at the moment, people don't have so much to give, and so we have to try all sorts of different ways. This year we've got about 5 people who have committed to do a parachute jump for us, which will be fantastic. And then we do things like Jazz in the Garden, which is again a fundraising event, afternoon teas on the green, and walks and runs and things like that. But it is constant battle to try and raise funds for the cause. If anyone listening is interested in donating to us or doing a fundraiser for us, please do visit our website, which is brigittatrust.org, and you'll see the Support Us page and the Donate to Support Us button.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as I said, that the whole thing, it never ceases to amaze me whenever I talk to charities who do this kind of work, just how inventive you can be, or how inventive you have to be, just to keep your head above water. I mean, and the sort of thing you do, it's not a trivial thing. It really isn't a trivial thing. It's a phenomenal thing that I think you guys do to care for those who seriously have ended up less fortunate than ourselves health-wise. So, you have, you say, 6 part-time staff.
Yes.
Which for most of us sounds like it's not many at all, is it?
It's not many at all when you think we cover the whole of the county of Surrey, which is around 1.1 million people, 11 district and boroughs, 4 NHS trusts, 4 hospices, loads of people to work with. It's very complex. One thing I haven't said yet is some other things that we do. We also run bereavement support groups.
Yes.
This is relatively new. We started it in the pandemic. Because we recognised that people were struggling with their bereavement during that time. But we also realised that there's a complete gap in the market. There's often long waiting lists or strict criteria for some other services. And we've designed a free 8-week bereavement support group programme, which we move round from town to town across Surrey. So we've just started a group in Dorking and we've just started a group in Woking. But coming up in March, we'll be doing one in Cranley and one in Ashted. And later in the year, we'll come to Redhill and Reigate and Dorking and other things. So that's so important as well, because, you know, we all have experience of loss and the challenges and loneliness that that can entail. So we find that the group, again, is a real crutch and support for people who have lost a loved one.
Now, I mean, it would appear that there are many tentacles to the arms of what you actually do. And say, I was trying to say, you've got 6 professional staff.
Yeah.
But you've got 100 volunteers who have many different skills. Do you ever have any trouble matching skills with what you actually need?
Occasionally. In fact, we've just had one challenge that we're trying to rise to. We have had a referral from the NHS who has a patient who only speaks, I think, Cantonese. And so we're going to have to try and find a volunteer or someone who can help communicate with that person. So that's a bit of a challenge. But in the main, we do quite well. But we are always looking for volunteers. We always need new volunteers because although we have we have one volunteer who's been with us nearly 40 years, and a lot of volunteers do stay with us 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but inevitably life things happen and we lose people.
Yeah.
So we run 3 training courses a year, and our next one starts in February. The next one will be June after that, and then a further one in October. So if anyone listening is interested in volunteering with us, whether they have any experience or not, it doesn't matter. Our training is very comprehensive and you'll learn invaluable life skills and transferable skills that will be helpful if you're looking for work or just in general talking to other friends or family who may have been diagnosed. So I'd really encourage your listeners to visit our website and look at our volunteer page.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now actually.
Uh-huh. So there's lots of questions, frequently asked questions there, and then there is an apply button, which is very straightforward to fill out. But if you've got any questions, please do give us a ring or an email in the office.
I've got to say, it's a very comprehensive website I'm looking at here. It's phenomenal. You've got this volunteer portal as well, which is kind of useful. So if anybody is actually thinking, I'd like to get involved with that and you want to become a volunteer, if anybody actually speaks Cantonese... I think that was what you said it was.
Yes.
If anybody speaks Cantonese, they desperately need you. So go take a look. It's Brigitte Trust, which is BRIGITE Trust.org. Okay. You'll find all of the details there. There's a fabulous website to look at what they actually do at the Brigitte Trust, and of course how you can get involved. All right, if you can't get involved, how can you support? This is the other thing. We mentioned that you've got these various events. Is there a timetable of events that are going to happen?
Yeah, so we're just building up what we're going to be doing in 2023. Yeah. So I guess watch the website and watch our social media platforms as well. So you can follow us on all the channels, whether that's Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. And we'll be promoting what we're up to this year that way. But if anyone's got any innovative ideas that they think they can offer, we'd be delighted to hear from them.
Okay, well, as I said a couple of times, I think it's a phenomenal thing you do for what you've described yourself as a small charity. I think you're a small charity, sort of, well, disguised really, and doing much bigger work than you reckon your status is, because I think it's absolutely phenomenal. Anybody wanting to take a look, Brigittetrust.org. Lucy Beach, been good to catch up this morning to find out a little more about you. Will you come back and talk to us sometime when you've got some specific events that you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Be delighted to do that. And thank you for all your support and kind words that you've said about what we do. That's really appreciated.
You're very welcome, Lucy Beach. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Okay, bye-bye.